Hey everyone, it's Brittany. Tim and I recently appeared on a podcast called Tangents, hosted by our good friend and contributor to the Trivia Advent Calendar, Russ Friedewald from Trivia Workshop. Tangents is a single-player trivia podcast where the guest builds their own quiz by following the tangents laid out at the end of each question in search of their specialty subject. The player gets one pass and one miss as they try to build the longest streak possible and build up their points. While our episodes appear separately in the Tangents feed, we decided to combine them so you can listen to both of our performances side by side. Several of our other Frenemy Trivia guests have also been on Tangents, so if you enjoy this beautifully creative format, we highly recommend that you find Tangents in your podcast apps and make sure to follow Russ. Check the show notes for the links. Thank you. Enjoy the special presentation, and we'll be back next week with your regularly scheduled Frenemy content.
This is Tangents. This week's guest is Tim Dipple. If you listen to trivia podcasts, and it seems like you might, you probably know Tim from the PTE Network and is one half of the hosting team behind the Frenemies Trivia Podcast. He was looking for Star Wars questions in his set, and spoiler alert, didn't take him long to find them. Let's see how he did it.
6 weekly venues and then one twice a month for the company. And I host one and the twice a month.
Are they local to you or you have to drive?
They're all in the Fayetteville area. Mine are both within 10 minutes of here, but we're spread out over the Fayetteville metropolitan area.
Fayetteville makes you the second player on this game from a town named for Lafayette.
Who was the first?
Mike Brownstein is okay. From Lafayette, Indiana.
Oh, okay. Well, there's at least two Fayettevilles in the country.
Arkansas, for sure, right?
Yeah, I'm North Carolina.
Yeah. I knew that. But there's also Arkansas. I think there's also Fayetteville, Texas, maybe?
I also think that there's some Fayette.
There's definitely some Fayettes, yeah.
And then there's obviously some Lafayettes.
Yeah.
He's kind of got his mark everywhere.
Yeah.
It's like Washington and then Lafayette.
That's how it goes. That's the order of distinction. Speaking of Fayetteville, if I'm in Fayetteville, what am I eating? What is different in Fayetteville to eat?
So North Carolina is known for barbecue.
Sure. Yeah.
We kind of have a good diversity because a lot of places, and we're a military town, so people cater to people all over the country here. Yeah. The place I host on Wednesday nights has like the best barbecue in the area.
The North Carolina style is the one, and this is, I think, Tennessee too, with the slaw on top of the meat.
They do a lot of that. Yeah. There's a lot of, I think we're considered vinegar based
barbecue, slaw meat. Yeah.
Where are you?
Springfield, Illinois.
Okay.
We're right in the middle of a couple of good barbecue states. We don't really claim any barbecue here, but if you go to Missouri, you got St. Louis style barbecue and Kansas City style barbecue. So those are good. But then also the Southeast U.S. barbecue, I think. I don't want to make anybody in Missouri mad, but I like that style. I've asked everybody so far, so I'm not going to stop now. What is your favorite movie soundtrack?
So I've been thinking about this one. I don't go for like the compilation soundtracks a whole lot, but growing up, I was a big movie score fan. So I tend to go to that side of the soundtracks. And for me, the one that sticks out is always going to be, I mean, really any in the series, but the Phantom Menace.
Okay.
The Duel of the Fates. The Duel of the Fates is one of the all-time great movie pieces of music.
Is that John Williams?
Yes, he did all of the Skywalker saga.
Sure. Phantom Menace. Okay.
Yeah, that soundtrack is so good.
That's going to be a new one on the list then.
Yeah, I don't go for, you know, the pop music compilations so much.
I gotcha. What pop culture thing are you into right now?
I just got into, and part of it because of the show that debuted, I just picked up and binge read all of the Percy Jackson and the Olympian series.
Okay.
And then I watched the show and really enjoyed both. And that's kind of what I'm into lately, is that Percy Jackson series. I'm into mythology a little bit.
That explains one of the opening questions in your first episode of the second season of Frenemies, your podcast.
Right.
Want to talk a little bit about that while you're here?
Yeah. So I host, along with Brittany Shaw, we are the hosts of the Frenemy Trivia podcast. And the idea behind it is it started as the idea of making an all wagers podcast. So it kind of just developed out of there. But we do what is essentially a mini trivia tournament in each episode. So we start off with two teams of two. And then once one team runs out of points or we run out of questions for the half, the winning team splits up and they go head to head, one on one, till we crown our best frenemy of the week.
Depends on the team dynamics, I guess, if the two people are really familiar with each other.
Yes.
Kind of get that. And I guess you kind of encourage that, the two people to know each other before coming in.
So when we ask people to be on, we always allow them the opportunity to invite a frenemy, but we don't necessarily guarantee that they will be teamed up with the frenemy.
Oh, interesting.
So what that does is it allows for either they get to work together on things they know through the first half and then be enemies in the second half, or the first half, they are already butting heads and know each other a little bit. And one of them wins and the other gets to stick around and just watch whether or not they're any good. So we don't necessarily guarantee you're going to be with your frenemy, but you can bring one and see how that goes.
It's an awesome show.
Yeah, we've had full like online quiz league teams come on as a group of four, and we just split them up, and it's been a lot of fun.
It really is.
We got to get you on there.
I'll come up with somebody. Maybe I'll bring my dog on.
You are more than welcome to play to come on solo, and we'll just match you up in a group of four anyway.
Yeah, that'll work. I've always found that I'm not very good at designing the wagers, so I would crash and burn on the wagering, I'm sure, but the actual format of the game is brilliant.
Yeah, it was a love child that myself, Brittany, and we had a lot of input from like Jay Borsum,
right,
who's a great game maker.
Right.
She helped develop that project a lot for us, and it's been a lot of fun.
Speaking of, this is not just you and Brittany. This is part of a network, a larger network. You want to talk about that?
Yeah. So we are part of what is now known as the PTE Network, Podcasts, Trivia, and Entertainment. It was so named because the flagship show was the Pub Trivia Experience, which we called PTE. That one's a little bit more lighthearted trivia, more of your standard pub trivia fare. You know, it's a lot of fun. Then they added Boozy Bracketology, which takes any topic and argues it down from 32 or 64 or 68 down to one winner over the course of about a month to 2 months, depending on the number of episodes. And then we started Frenemy Trivia to be a little bit more of like the intense trivia, so to speak, your more long form trivia podcasts. And we've recently added two new shows. Jay Borsum launched Verboten, which has been a lot of fun. And we've really enjoyed having that one. And then as of time of recording last week, we launched a new podcast called Draft Days.
Right.
Which Jeffy Donuts hosts. Yeah. And that's basically you take a topic and you do a fantasy football snake style draft to back and forth to pick your ultimate team. And then there's a number of metrics that they decide, and that's how you determine who wins.
It's another really fun concept.
Yeah, we try to do a varied group of podcasts, and it's been a lot of fun doing that. So we've got a couple of like just pop culture discussion and arguments. Yep. We've got a couple of trivia podcasts, and then we have the word game show.
It's a really good mix. So make sure you go out and follow the all of the PTE Network shows.
We would love if you did.
Exactly. What is your favorite piece of trivia that sticks with you? Speaking of trivia.
Oh, favorite piece of trivia. So I'm just going to go with my typical Jeopardy fact, because and I know if Brittany hears this, she already knows what's going to come out.
Oh boy.
If I were to ever be on Jeopardy and they, you know, tell us something cool about yourself, I am related to the person who is believed to have inspired Mary Shelley's Frankenstein.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard this come up before.
Yeah, it comes up all the time because it's just a fun fact.
That is great. Yeah.
So I don't know that I have a favorite trivia fact, but that's kind of just.
That's a pretty good fact. At least you have something for that contestant interview.
See, I know I could be on once. I don't know about a second, third or fourth time, but I could be once. Call me.
Yeah. Where do you quiz? I know you host multiple times a week, but where do you quiz, live or online?
So because of my schedule and having a toddler, I don't do a whole lot of live quizzing anymore. But I do occasionally. I play Jay Borsum's quiz. Mm-hmm. I've popped in on yours a couple of times. Nice. But yeah, just haven't had a ton of time to do it a lot. Mostly it's on trivia podcasts. You know, I've been on. I make the rounds through the shows, and
as long as you can get your fix somewhere,
right? And then occasionally, I just get my trivia fix by writing trivia for Frenemy. So,
speaking of trivia, are you ready to make your quiz?
Let's see how this goes.
All right, the game is simple. I'll start the game with a question, answer it correctly, and you'll get to choose the topic for the next question based on a set of tangents from your answer. Keep answering correctly and stay in the game. If you don't know an answer, it's not the end of the world. You're allowed one miss and one pass. But once those are gone, the game only goes on as long as you're perfect. We'll start where John Liu left off. The question is, what number represents both the area code for Seattle and the total number of bones in a normal human body?
And that's going to be 206.
Yeah, normal adult human. 206, 206 bones. And that, Tim, is your first correct answer of the game. And it gives you these tangents to work with. Anatomy, area codes, numbers, or bones.
That is a fun one. Let's go with, I think I feel best about numbers.
Numbers. Okay. The members of what fictional organization were almost completely wiped out by a command known as Order 66?
Okay. So this would be the Jedi Order.
That would be the Jedi. Correct. And that gets you your second point. And it gives you these tangents: groups, numbers, Star Wars, or death.
Well, I did say I'd like to get to Star Wars, so let's go with Star Wars.
Staying with Star Wars, what actor is the only performer ever nominated for an Academy Award for their role in a Star Wars movie?
I actually just wrote this question for another podcast that I do occasionally. This is Sir Alec Guinness.
That is Sir Alec Guinness. That's correct.
I had to stop myself from saying Obi-Wan Kenobi. I was like,
as one would do. Yeah, that is your second correct answer. You have a nice streak of three now, and it gets you these tangents: actors, Oscars, Star Wars, or franchises.
Let's keep it going with Star Wars.
We'll stick with Star Wars.
Let's see if I can pull a Jay Borsum, but with Star Wars.
Just crush the category. Here's your question. According to a story by CBS News, what company's commercial featuring a kid in a Darth Vader costume is the most viral Super Bowl ad of all time, with just under 70 million online views?
Okay, I am pretty sure that this was a commercial for Volkswagen.
Volkswagen is correct. Nice job, Tim. Even though it wasn't really a Star Wars question, you still nailed it. And that gives you the following tangents: Super Bowl commercials, news, Star Wars, or companies.
It hasn't let me down yet. Let's keep going.
Staying with Star Wars.
Yep.
Actor Ahmed Best is probably best known for providing the motion capture and voice for what character, who first appeared in Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace?
Okay, so Ahmed Best has played three characters in the Star Wars universe. He was Kelleran Beck in The Mandalorian. He was, I think his name was, it was some play on Ahmed Best in Attack of the Clones. I think it's like Ahmed Beck, like it might even be like Ahmed Beck or something like that. But he is most known as Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah, Jar Jar Binks. I'm not getting that one by you. That's for a casual pub quiz player, but you are no casual pub quiz player when it comes to Star Wars.
I've written more than my fair share of Star Wars questions. If we run out, I'll just give you some of mine.
There you go. Perfect. So that gives you the following tangents. Simply the best, as in Ahmed Best, voices characters, or Star Wars.
Keep going with Star Wars.
Keep up the Star Wars. Here we go. A fountain topped by a statue of Yoda sits outside the lobby of what San Francisco-based special effects company, founded by George Lucas, as production began on the first Star Wars movie?
Well, the special effects company most associated with Star Wars would be Industrial Light and Magic.
Industrial Light and Magic is correct. Nice job. And that gets you San Francisco or Star Wars.
We'll stick with Star Wars, especially because I don't know San Francisco.
Here is your Star Wars question. Described by Obi-Wan Kenobi as a wretched hive of scum and villainy, what spaceport town on the planet Tatooine was the setting for the famous cantina scene in Star Wars?
Oh, Mos Eisley Cantina, or Mos Eisley is the spaceport.
Yeah, but Mos Eisley, that's right. Nice job. Wow, you're already at 7 points. Of course, finding your category right off the bat doesn't hurt.
Not at all.
That gets you the following tangents: Star Wars, fictional settings, bars, or villains.
We'll keep it with the category.
How did I know?
Spoiler alert.
Here is your question in Star Wars. Equal to about 3.26 light years, what unit of length is mentioned by Han Solo in a famous boastful line in Star Wars A New Hope?
The source of a lot of controversy, because it's used implied as a unit of time when it's a unit of distance. We're looking at the parsec here.
That is right. The parsec, of course. You are cruising right along here. And your tangents are measurement, movie quotes, or Star Wars.
We'll keep going until it runs out.
Shocking. I think this is it. Okay. You have reached the end, and it's kind of the end of the real Star Wars questions. But here is your question in what it's kind of a Star Wars question. Its title makes it sound like part of the Star Wars franchise. But what 2018 Best Documentary Feature Oscar winner is actually about a rock climber's quest to scale El Capitan?
So this is where things get more difficult. One of these days, I'm going to just start learning Oscar winners. But so the only thing that comes to mind is when I think Star Wars and I think mountains, I think of like droids and K2 maybe. But I don't know that that's a best documentary feature Oscar winner. But there was a droid named K2SO. So we'll go with K2.
K2, it's a really good guess. The Oscar winner for Best Documentary Feature for 2018 was called Free Solo. Free Solo.
Okay.
Get it?
That makes sense.
So that is your miss. Now, keep in mind, you still have a pass, but here are your tangents based on that. 2010s, documentaries, or rocks?
We'll go with 2010s. I don't feel good about either of those other two.
The 2010s. What was the surname of the American doctor who died in 2016, just months after his first real-world use of a life-saving technique that he wrote about in 1974?
I actually think I might have heard of this. Is this Heimlich?
It is Heimlich. Nice job. So that gets you started on a brand new streak, and it gives you the following tangents: surnames, doctors, the 2010s again, or 1970s.
Okay, so I'm going to stay away from 1970s. The question is, how cheeky are you with some of these? Because doctors could be actual doctors, or it could be like Doctor Who. Or do I want to stick with 2010s? I feel like we're a kindred spirit. We're going to go with doctors.
Going to go with doctors. On the long-running sci-fi series Doctor Who, what last name is shared by the actors who played the fourth and sixth doctors?
Oh, I absolutely should know this. The actors who played fourth and sixth. The only name that's coming to mind, and I think he might have been four, is Baker. So I'm going to go with Baker.
Going to take a guess, not use the pass. You're going to go with Baker. Yeah. And that is correct. Yeah, Tom and Colin Baker were 4 and 6.
I never would have gotten Colin, but I was pretty sure 4 was Tom.
Yeah, Tom. So that gets you your 10th point of the game. You're in double figures now. And that gets you your tangents, doctors, shared surnames, actors, or sci-fi.
Let's go to sci-fi. That's a stronger category for me.
Moving over to sci-fi. The familiar name of what science fiction character appears in the original German lyrics of Nina's 1983 hit 99 Luftballons and the English version released a year later?
I have thoughts. So the fact that you gave 1983 but didn't say 1984, you said a year later, makes me think that we're talking about maybe a clue to 1984. Which gives me a thought that it could be something like Big Brother or Winston Smith or something, but I'm not confident in that, so I'm just going to pass.
That's a good move, because it's Captain Kirk.
Oh, okay.
Captain Kirk. So you played that wisely. That gets you the following tangents. Characters, sci-fi, lyrics, or language.
I still feel best about sci-fi, so we're going to go sci-fi.
Going back to sci-fi, the Great Atuin is a giant star turtle of the fictional species Chelis Galactica, who provides the foundation for a planetary system in what fantasy book series?
Okay, I really should know this outright. I have a guess, and I haven't read this series. But I did host the fantasy and sci-fi author bracket for Boozy Bracketology. And if I think back to that, I think I'm either right or I'm out. So there, I don't have any passes. I don't have any misses. But I think this is Discworld.
You think this is Discworld, the Terry Pratchett series. And you are correct. It is Discworld.
Okay, Brian Nash doesn't have to kill me yet.
That's right. Yet. That's right. Your tangents based on Discworld, sci-fi again, turtles, fictional planets, or franchises.
There's a couple of these that I feel could be doable for me. Sci-fi is a strong category. Fictional planets, if there was any Star Wars questions, it might have popped up there. Franchises give me a lot of places with a lot of ammunition. Let's go with toss the imaginary coin. Franchises.
We're going franchise. Wow, that's surprising. That's like the third option I thought you would go with.
I'm desperately hoping that this is like movie franchises or TV franchises and not like fast food franchises, or we'll see.
I think generally this comes down to movie franchises, but you never know. Here is your question in franchises. One of the longest running video game franchises kicked off with what Konami game in 1987 that had the player controlling a special forces operative codenamed Solid Snake in an attempt to destroy the title walking tank?
Okay, so this is right back a little bit more into my wheelhouse. I never played these games, but this is Metal Gear.
That is Metal Gear. That will get you the following tangents. Video games, franchises, the 1980s, or war?
That video games one is... I gotta go for video games.
Going video games. Master Chief is the main protagonist in what series of video games?
A TV show I keep meaning to check back out. Halo.
Paramount Plus. Yeah, that's right. Halo. Correct. And that gets you the following tangents. Masters, Chiefs, protagonists, or video games?
Let's stick with video games.
And your question in video games is this. When it was released in North America in 1986, what NES game came in a special gold cartridge that included memory, making it possible to save game progress for the first time?
I distinctly remember there being a gold cartridge of The Legend of Zelda.
The Legend of Zelda is correct, running your total score to 14 and your current streak to 4, and gets you the following tangents. The 1980s, video games, gold, or legends?
We're going to stay with video games.
Obviously, sticking with video games.
You might have been able to tempt me if there had been a Legend of Zelda category, but...
Oh, okay. Well, good to know. Your question in video games. What action heroine, who debuted in a 1996 video game, was brought to life by Angelina Jolie in a 2001 motion picture?
That would be the Tomb Raider Lara Croft.
Lara Croft is correct. And you have the following tangents. Characters, the 1990s, video games, or 2000s films.
It's been kind to me so far. Let's stick with video games.
Yeah, why stop? A 31-year-old Philadelphia native known as Mr. Sandman became your next opponent after getting past guys like Bald Bull and Don Flamenco in the 1987 NES version of what video game?
Okay. I always mix up the titles. I don't think it's Knockout. I think it's Punch Out. So I'm going to go with Punch Out.
Punch Out is correct. That gets you the following tangents and gets you up to 16 points. Philadelphia, nicknames, the 1980s, or video games.
Let it ride. Let's keep going, video games. Let it
ride. Yeah, why not? What animal appears in the stage name of the DJ who teamed up with Lil Jon on Turn Down for What, the nickname of Kurt Russell's character in Escape from New York, and the code name of the protagonist from the video game Metal Gear Solid? It sounds like we just had this.
Yeah. Even if you didn't just give me the answer, I would know that this is Snake.
That is Snake, sure. That gets you up to 17 total points and a nice new streak. And it gets you the following tangents: animals, stage names, 1980s movies, or video games.
Keep going to video games.
Keep going to video games. Originally released in 1982, what video game's pickle-dodging protagonist Peter Pepper makes appearances in the 2012 film Wreck-It Ralph and the 2015 film Pixels?
Okay. I am not certain on this, so this very well may be the end of it, but something is tickling something somewhere in the recesses of my mind. Burger World?
Burger World. That's your guess? Burger World?
Yeah, I'm going with that.
Oh, Tim, you were so close.
Oh.
You had the right first word. It's Burger Time.
Burger Time.
Burger Time. Oh, Tim.
Oh.
So close. But hey, you had a fantastic score. 17 is a great score, and that is really, really nicely done. How do you feel?
I feel good. I mean, I didn't know exactly how well I'd do. I think I exceeded what I thought I was going to do. It's always easier to be a trivia writer than a trivia player sometimes. But
now that you know how the game is played, next time you're on, you'll be more comfortable and less nerves.
Absolutely.
And now you'll be ready to play. Yeah. We'll have you on again soon. Do you want to plug things again while you're here?
Yeah. So you can find me on the Frenemy Trivia Podcast, anywhere you find your podcasts. That's Frenemy Trivia, where myself and Brittany play your frenemies and throw some challenging questions at you. We are part of the PTE Podcasts Network. I did mention earlier that I have another kind of side project that I do. I do a podcast called The Perfect 10 Pop Quiz, where people come on every month to talk about like their perfect 10 property. And then I write a 10 question kind of asymmetric pop quiz of 10 questions for it. So we've done anything from like Ghostbusters to Star Wars was this recent month. And we've done stuff like the Transformers, the movie soundtrack was like somebody's nice. Like, this is a perfect soundtrack. So I write a little quiz on it, and you can find that. Thunderquack.com is the name of the network. So
Thunderquack.com.
Yep.
Great. Sounds awesome. Thanks, Tim. We'll get you back on real soon.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, Russ.
Thanks again to Tim, and thank you for listening. Be sure to check the show notes for links to the PTE Network, the Frenemies Podcast, and the other stuff Tim keeps himself busy with. And I'll see you next week.
Hi, I'm Jay, host of the new podcast, Verboten.
I'm Brittany, one half of the team behind Frenemy Trivia.
And I'm Jeremy, the newest member of the Pub Trivia Experience podcast.
And we're coming together today to tell you that this show is sponsored by
Critical Grind Board Game Cafe.
Critical Grind holds a special place in all three of our hearts.
It's a wonderful place to get together with old friends or make some new ones.
Whether you're after one of their many fantastic coffee drinks or one of their signature toasts, Critical Grind's got you covered.
With an enormous library of tabletop games available, it's a fantastic place to unwind and celebrate your inner nerd.
Critical Grind is a recognized gaming safe space, which means you can truly be yourself there.
Critical Grind was recently voted Best in Family Recreation for 2023 in its area.
And with their new expansion, there's even more fun to come in the future.
So check them out near the intersection of Black Road and Route 59 in Shorewood, Illinois.
Or if you're not local, find out more about them anyway at linktree.com/criticalgrind.
Either way, tell Dana and Sean we say hi.
Critical Grind Board Game Cafe. Life is short. Play more games.
Proud supporters of the PTE Network.
And vice versa.
This is Tangents. Hey there, welcome back. Our next player's name is going to sound familiar to you if you remember the Tim Dipple episode, because he mentioned the co-host of the Frenemy Trivia podcast, Brittany Shaw. Brittany has a lot of range when it comes to what she's looking for, from the MCU to the Tudor monarchy. Surely she'll find one of those, right? Well, let's see.
Originally from Nashville, and then I lived in the Quad Cities for a couple of years, and then I lived in Seattle for about 5 years.
Nashville, I know, like hot chicken.
That's newer than
yeah.
That's post me leaving.
What about the Quad Cities?
Supposedly, there's like a Quad City style pizza, although I haven't really.
Okay, yeah, I'll have to check that out. Seattle fish.
Yeah, fresh seafood. Ironically, I was a vegetarian while I lived there, so I didn't get to take as much advantage of it. But that's actually where I'm going, and my office is based out of Seattle. So even though I'm full time remote, I still work with.
Oh, what a nice deal to be full time remote.
Yeah, it's interesting. My coworker is really annoying though, because like he will come into my office all the time. And he jumps on the desk and then he screams at me until I get him food. And I tell him there's already food in his bowl. And yet his newest thing is now he screams at me until I stand up to move him. And then he jumps into my chair and curls up.
Now, this is the world famous Simba, by the way.
Yes, the semi-famous Simba who I think the fame has gone to his head.
Oh, that'll happen. But I've asked everybody so far, so I'm not going to stop now. What is your favorite movie soundtrack?
I knew you were going to ask this. And I've been trying to think of a proper answer because, like, I have different answers depending on the day you ask me.
Sure.
I also have different answers depending on if it's score or soundtrack. So for score, I feel like Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Black Pearl just always makes me feel super epic.
Nice.
And it's very motivating. But as far as, like, soundtracks that have songs, like, that people sing and have words and stuff, I'm kind of on a tie between Remember the Titans.
Okay.
And Shrek.
Oh, Shrek.
Shrek has some solid bops on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Shrek 2 does too.
Shrek 2 does as well. I think I like the soundtrack for Shrek 1 more, but the Fairy Godmother's rendition of I Need a Hero is like probably the best cover of that song. I like it better than the original. Second best cover of that song that I've heard is Adam Lambert.
Yeah. Well, you can't go wrong either way.
No.
Yeah, I think I can't remember if it's one or two that has Accidentally in Love on it. One of them has
two.
Two, yeah. Bad Reputation's on one of those.
Bad Reputation is on one.
See, there you go.
Well, because Counting Crows wrote Accidentally in Love for Shrek 2.
For two. Specifically for two. Yeah.
Specifically for two. Because that's the song that plays when they're having their little, we just got married, now it's sort of a honeymoon montage. And then Ariel shows up and then Fiona like tosses her into the ocean and it made me laugh. So
it has been a while since I've seen those.
Yeah.
What pop culture thing are you into right now?
Oh, it's kind of hard to say. I like Bluey. Bluey's great. I guess what I've been doing lately, which will probably come as a surprise to people who know me, is I've been watching through old episodes of SNL. Like, I didn't grow up watching Saturday Night Live. I don't know a lot of the references from it, but they have it on Peacock and I can kind of put it on when I'm doing stuff around the house. So I've watched like most of this current season and I've watched last season and the season before that, but I've gone back to some of the even older ones, which is interesting because if you go back like season 44 and before, you don't get the musical performances because the music rights weren't built into the streaming agreement.
Right.
So now they do it because I had to look it up. I was like, because the first time it happened was Kanye West. And I was like, oh, maybe they just cut Kanye out of the episode because all the recent Kanye stuff. Mm-hmm. And then it happened with like trying to think of who it happened with BTS maybe. And I was like, OK, this is starting to really not make sense.
Now it doesn't make sense. Kanye. BTS. Not so much. Speaking of things, you know, pop culture stuff. What were your genius categories that you picked for this go around? I think MCU Infinity.
Yeah, I had actually forgotten what I picked, and I was very scared that I put something down that I don't know for some reason, like thinking that I would study beforehand. But I think what I put down was the Marvel Cinematic Universe Infinity Saga.
Okay.
Because while I have watched most of the stuff since Infinity Saga and since Endgame, a lot of it I'm not as familiar with. And then I believe the other thing I said was the Tudor monarchy. It was like an early thing that I just really got into, like reading wise. And then my senior year of high school, I did like this EF Tours trip overseas. Okay. And one of the stops was in London. And so we got to go to the Tower of London, and I was just absolutely fascinated. I got in trouble a couple of times on that trip because I kept wandering off from the group because they were all like, oh, yeah, we've seen enough. And I'm like, no. You don't understand. Like, they're like, we want to get to the crown jewels. I was like, I don't care about the crown jewels. I want to see all the armor. And like, what? Do you realize that this courtyard is where Anne Boleyn lost her head? Yeah. It's like all this stuff. It's like, there's all this cool history and you want to go see some shiny stuff. And yeah. I get it. But also like, I want to look at this stuff. So your
classmates are getting, yeah, we just want to go to the gift shop.
Thankfully, the European history teacher was one of the chaperones, so he was cool as long as I was within his line of sight,
right.
Because he was also like not super wanting to go see the crown jewels.
So what is your favorite piece of trivia that sticks with you, or maybe something you drop on other people every now and then?
I don't know if I have a favorite one of all time, but recently I learned that there is etymological evidence to suggest that the word torture and the word twerk may have a common root.
Wow.
There's debated origins over the word twerk.
Sure.
As there was like a Middle English word that was spelled T-W-I-R-K.
Okay.
And if that's the source, it is the same root. But there's also like a thing that says it wasn't used until like maybe the 1930s or something, or like even later as a word. And so if that's the case, it may not be the same root word, but they both mean like a twisting motion, because that's where torture comes from, like torque.
Yeah.
Like Torquemada, the guy who was the head of the Spanish Inquisition. That's actually how I learned it, because I was trying to ask about tortured poets department. I was writing a little triad of questions that fit that theme. Okay. And so I was looking for stuff with torture, and I was like, oh, I'll do an etymology thing. And I was like, wait, does that say twerk? And I was like, now I'm down this rabbit hole. So that's my favorite one right now.
That is an awesome one. I'm always going to pronounce it Torquemada now.
Torquemada.
Torquemada.
I think Mel Brooks would approve.
Yeah, I think so. I know you host a quiz, the Cozy Quiz.
Yes.
And we can talk about that a little bit.
Sure.
But where do you quiz as a player?
Live, I pretty much can be found at weekly, I can be found at an LK game, so a Liquid Courage game. I usually play Jay's Monday game, but that's usually where I play live. Online, I've played your game a few times. I'd like to play it more, but it's actually the same night game. Yeah. So
I get that a lot.
It's a little hard. Yep. But other than that, I'll play Jay's games online as well, or like in lieu of going to a live show if I can't make it out that week. But I also play, it's a group called Interference, and they're based out of the UK.
Okay.
They stream on Twitch most Sundays. They do a game called Zeitgeist, and it's
I've heard of that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's five rounds of five questions. Each round has its own little topic, and it's a multiple choice game, but you get like 10 seconds to answer. So you just kind of have to be able to think fast on it or be paying attention, which I am guilty of sometimes doing not that well. But
speaking of quizzing, let's talk about your game on Tuesday nights, the Cozy Quiz.
Yeah, so I do a show called Cozy Quiz at a local board game and coffee shop place called Critical Grind Board Game Cafe, owned and operated by a person who's become a good friend, Dana. And we had this idea, we probably came up with the idea about a year ago, but I started hosting last April. I was at a point where I was finally getting more settled in Illinois after moving from Washington. And I used to run Ginny's Cozy Quiz on Twitch. And I kind of had just missed writing and hosting my own content. Like I was hosting for Jay for a while and I'm still like the fill-in host for Liquid Courage. But I missed writing my own content and I had some weird ideas for things I wanted to do. And Dana didn't tell me no. And, you know, she pays me in coffee. So it's a labor of love for me. And it's very fun for me to be able to go out and just kind of share my weird brain with the world. And by the world, I mean, like, I've got like maybe 5 to 8 teams that come out consistently. And they're very fun. And it's not a big venue. And it's a very different vibe than pub trivia because there's no alcohol there. So people aren't, you know, people are drinking, but they're drinking coffee or smoothies or hot cocoa. And I've got, you know, some regulars. I've got one team that's been there basically since the very first night I hosted trivia there. And it's very interesting and it's different for writing because that crowd is not necessarily there for the trivia, but they are there for trivia. They're just like, they're there to support Dana and Critical Grind.
Nice.
And trivia is a way that they can hang out there and have something to do.
Yep.
But it's not like people were like, hey, where can I play trivia on a Tuesday night? Oh, a coffee shop? That's that's not how.
Yeah, it's a different vibe. That's for sure.
Yeah. It's people who are like, oh, I'm in this coffee shop. Oh, there's trivia going on. Yeah. I'll play some trivia. I'll
play some trivia.
It's been pretty successful and place has been open for over a year. And, you know, a lot of places don't necessarily make it. And I'm thrilled that this place has because it's a very cool, unique place.
And where and is this, this Critical Grind in what city?
Shorewood, Illinois. So Critical Grind Board Game Cafe. They have, I want to say Dana says they have over 800 games in their board game library now. But they do coffee, smoothies. They have specialty toasts that they make.
Wow.
But the thing that I love most about them is that they are the most loudly inclusive place that I've ever seen. Like they make it clear that anyone who wants to belongs there. Like they are open. They are non-judgmental. Like anyone can come in and just as long as you're being respectful of anyone, you belong there.
Very cool.
So it's a very amazing place.
Very cool. Tuesday nights at Critical Grind at 7 p.m. in Shorewood, Illinois. Mm-hmm. If you're in the area, drop on by on Tuesdays and play some coffee trivia. Not necessarily coffee themed, but you can certainly have a coffee while you play.
Grab a coffee and play some cozy quiz. And
nice.
I promise it'll be something.
It'll be something.
It'll be an experience of some sort.
Excellent. Well, speaking of trivia, are you ready to make your quiz?
Yeah, let's let's do this.
All right. The game is simple. I'll start with a question, answer it correctly, and you get to choose the topic for the next question based on a set of tangents from your answer. Keep answering correctly to stay in the game. If you don't know an answer, it's not the end of the world. You're allowed one miss and one pass. But once those are gone, the game only goes on as long as you're perfect. Now, we're going to pick up where Brian left off with this question. What 1990s drama series focused on a Boston physician nicknamed Dr. Mike who heads west and sets up a practice in Colorado Springs?
I think that's Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman.
That is Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman, and that is your first correct answer of the game. Now, I will tell you this. There is a way to get directly to one of your genius categories directly from here, but I'm not going to tell you how. Your tangents will be 1990s TV, Boston, nicknames, or doctors.
Okay. I'm sure while they're listening, Jay and Tim are laughing at the idea of me even possibly selecting 1990s TV because they have this running joke that I haven't made it to the 90s when it comes to television yet. So we're going to just scratch that one off.
Okay.
Boston, I just saw a thing saying that the Boston accent is like the sexiest accent in the world. I think it was on SNL, so that may not have been true. But I don't know anything about it other than it's nicknamed Beantown, and I'm afraid that's probably not going to be the question, so we're going to scratch that off, which leaves me with nicknames and doctors. And I think I'm going to go with doctors because I know there's a couple of doctors that are also Avengers. So I'm going to shoot for the superheroes and go with doctors.
Okay. Going with doctors.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure that was the way in, but we'll give this a shot.
Okay.
Your question in doctors. In the 2011 AWOL Nation single, Sail, the subject of the song repeatedly blames his problems on what disorder, first described by pediatrician George Still in 1902?
Okay. I'm glad this is the question because I was a little bit scared when you said that may not have been the right choice. However, I recently, like within the last year and a half, got diagnosed with ADD. So I'm pretty sure there's a line where he goes, blame it on my ADD. And so I think it's ADD or attention deficit disorder.
It is ADD. Blame it on the ADD. That is your second correct answer. And it gets you the following tangents. 2010s music, boats, lyrics, or doctors.
Okay. So my partner in crime, Aaron, has this lovely nickname for me.
Oh boy.
Where he calls me the queen of the Mondegreen, and that I am terrible at lyrics. So I'm glad I remembered that one. I don't think my luck's going to continue that way. So I'm going to stick with doctors.
Sticking with doctors. All right.
I'm hoping I get to Dr. Strange or Dr. Banner.
We'll see about it. Your question in the category doctors, saline, sodium thiopental, potassium chloride, and pancuronium bromide were ingredients in a recipe that resulted in the 1998 arrest of what graduate of the University of Michigan Med School?
Ooh, okay. Okay. Well, saline is a salt solution. Sodium thiopental. University of Michigan Med School. I'm going to take a random guess because it's a name I've heard, and I don't know how old the reference is, but I know that I've heard about it, and I was like 8 in 1998. So I'm going to say Dr. Kevorkian.
Nice.
Is he a real person?
That's a real, yeah. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Okay. Jack Kevorkian, the correct answer there. That gets you your third point. And these are your following tangents. 1990s, chemistry, doctors, and Michigan.
Okay. I feel like doctors is not getting me where I want to go. Although it's reminding me that the group Doctors Without Borders just recently sent me a tote bag in the mail, which was interesting. But I feel like I'm being too risky with doctors, so I'm going to switch to chemistry.
Chemistry it is. It's more lyrics.
Oh, no.
in 2015, Mike Posner released a single about a chemically influenced experience he had one night at one of the many world-renowned nightclubs on what Mediterranean island?
Oh, is this the guy who did the song about Ibiza? Like Ibiza? Ibiza. Or Ibiza, I think is how they would say it in Spain.
Is that your guess?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Ibiza.
Good job. It is Ibiza.
Okay.
Yeah. That will get you your fourth point and your following tangents.
I feel like the tangents are my fun facts after. Like Lindsay Lohan has an island with a dance club now.
Could come up right here. 2010's music, chemistry, or islands.
I'm sorry. I'm singing Islands in the Stream in my head now. which, you know, isn't helpful here. Let's go chemistry.
Chemistry again. Senna glycoside is the active ingredient, but cocoa powder is the main flavoring component in the most popular variety of what GlaxoSmithKline product?
Okay. It's going to be something chocolatey. I can think of a couple of things that are chocolatey. There's like Nesquik and there's Ovaltine. I don't know what a GlaxoSmithKline is. Problem.
That would help,
That does seem to be. However, I do know that Nesquik is a Nestle product, and I don't think that's got GlaxoSmithKline in it. So I'm going to guess Ovaltine.
Ovaltine. It is chocolatey, for sure, some varieties. But GlaxoSmithKline is a drug company, a pharmaceutical company.
Is this like Ex-Lax? That's exactly right,
Ex-Lax. No problem. That's your first miss. You still have a pass left. And then from then on, it's all about being perfect. So that gives you the following tangents. X, health, food, or chemistry?
Let's go with food, even though that just bit me a little bit. But let's go with food.
Your question in food. The wasabi paste used as a condiment for sushi and a special sauce introduced by Arby's in the 1970s are both derived from what type of plant in the mustard family?
Yeah, I want to say, I think I read a thing where it's like over 90% of wasabi is no longer made with wasabi root. And I know Arby's has a sauce called the horsey sauce. So I believe this is horseradish.
That is horseradish. That's correct. And that gets you the following tangents. Food, fish, 1970s, or plants.
Okay. I'm a little scared that I am pulling an Icarus here and flying too close to the sun, but my degree is in biology with a focus on botany.
Oh boy.
So I'm going to go plants.
Plants it is. Okay.
I'm a little scared.
As you probably should be. Your question in plants. When the writers for The Office, US, needed a surname for Amy Ryan's character, they used the name of what plant whose fibers and oils are used to make linen and linoleum?
Okay, Amy Ryan's character. I'm not sure who Amy Ryan is. However, I'm pretty sure linen and linoleum are made from flax plant. And I want to say Holly's name was Holly Flax. So I'm going to go with flax.
Well, you knew the whole thing then. Yeah, it's Holly Flax.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Except for who Amy Ryan right. was apparently. Yeah. And I guess she played Holly.
Amy Ryan played Holly Flax. That's right. So that is your sixth point, and to get you the following tangents. The office, surnames, plants, or oil?
Okay, I'm going to take a risk.
Oh boy.
Because I still have my pass if I need it, but I can think of a two-step process that gets me from this question to the MCU, and I'm going to go with The Office.
Wow, okay, The Office. All right, your question. Often referenced during sales calls on The Office, what unit for measuring writing paper is equivalent to 500 sheets?
I believe that is a ream.
That is a ream, and that is your seventh point.
Okay.
And it gets you these tangents. Measurement, 2000s TV, paper, or The Office?
Huh. I think we've just talked about the one thing I know about paper. Possibly the two things I know about The Office, but maybe measurement. Let's go for measurement.
Going for measurement. Your question in measurement. What unit for measuring alcohol content was originally tested with gunpowder in the 1500s, but since 1816 has been checked with a specific gravity test?
I think this is, it's not going to be like proof. I don't think. I think this is that other like fancy thing on the beer can, which is IBUs. I do have a pass left. Wonder if I should use it. Yeah, let's go ahead and use the pass because I
pass. Using the pass. It's a good thing you did because you said the right answer. You just didn't go with it.
It is proof.
It is proof.
Proofing?
Yeah.
Okay. Proof.
Nothing harm now, but now you got to be perfect. You're with the following tangents. Okay. Measurement again, alcohol, 1500s, or tests.
Let's go with the 1500s.
Wow. Okay. Here we go. Your question.
I'm so scared.
Your question in the 1500s. Played by Natalie Portman in a 2008 movie, what second wife of Henry VIII was beheaded in 1536? Seems like we talked about this earlier.
Oh, we did a little bit. Yeah. I actually saw this movie in the theaters. I think I went to go see it by myself because no one wanted to see it with me. But I was super fascinated, and I believe she was not the title character. The title character, I think, was played by Amanda Seyfried, maybe?
Hmm.
But Natalie Portman played Anne Boleyn in The Other Boleyn Girl. So this is Anne Boleyn.
It is Anne Boleyn. And you have found...
No, I'm sorry. It was Scarlett Johansson who was Mary Boleyn. She's the title character.
Yep. That gets you the following tangents. The 1500s, 2000s films, spouses, or The Tudors?
Let's go with The Tudors, since I was looking for that.
I had a feeling you might say that. Which wife of Henry VIII was the inspiration for the stage name of the British actress born Joyce Frankenberg in 1951 before she landed roles in Live and Let Die and Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman?
Hey, call back to question one on here.
There you go.
I see how we went full circle on this. But yeah, this would be Jane Seymour.
That would be Jane Seymour.
My goal is just to beat Tim, but I haven't set myself up well to do that. So we'll see how this goes.
It'll take a couple more, I think, won't it?
I think Tim got to 17.
Yeah, pretty good streak going here. You can do it with the Tudors.
We'll see.
Your tangents, stage names, the Tudors, actresses or 1970s films?
Let's go with let's go with the Tudors. I'm not going to.
That would be weird. No.
Yeah. Now that I found my topic, let's leave.
Yeah. Let's get out of here.
Yeah.
Your question in the Tudors is this. The death of what childless monarch marked the end of the Tudor dynasty in 1603?
That would be Elizabeth the First.
That would be Elizabeth First. There you go. Yes. And that gets you to 10 points, gets you to double digits, and it gets you the following tangents: the Tudors, death, or the 1600s.
Hmm.
I think we know what you're going to do.
Yeah, I think I'll stick with the Tudors, though I'm fascinated by death in the 1600s. But I think I'm going to stick with the Tudors.
Okay, sticking with the Tudors, and we'll get this question out of that. The classic Christmas carol, What Child Is This?, is set to the tune of what traditional English folk song that, despite the legend surrounding it, was not composed by Henry VIII for Anne Boleyn?
You know, I was just going to say that people think that Henry VIII composed this for Anne Boleyn, but that's in the question. But it's Greensleeves.
It is Greensleeves, and that gets you to 11 points. And you're on a nice roll now, and you get the following tangents. There's more Tudors. There's songs. There's Christmas. And there is legends.
Hmm. I mean, I know what I'm going to stick with, but I'm almost like, I'm so tempted by the tangents. Like, I don't think I fully appreciate when I'm listening to the show just how tempting it would be to go down those other roads.
Yeah.
And how much you have to talk yourself into sticking with your category. Yep. That you were looking for. Because, like, we just did that whole advent calendar.
Right.
There's so much Christmas stuff
Christmas
in there.
Stuff.
And I know some things about Christmas. But you know what? I'm going to stick with the Tudors.
Why not?
Yeah,
you're doing
maybe
great.
We'll work our way back to Christmas.
Exactly.
I don't know. We'll see.
We never know.
Yeah.
Your question. In the Tudors, after the death of Henry VIII, what surviving wife waited 6 months before marrying Thomas Seymour, who also happened to be the brother of Henry's third wife, Jane?
She is fascinating because Henry was actually her third husband.
Yeah.
So Thomas Seymour was her fourth and last husband. They eloped in secret because it was going to be a whole thing.
Yeah.
If they got married in public. And her funeral was the first Protestant funeral in England to be held in, like, English.
Wow.
And not Latin.
Yeah.
But this is Catherine Parr.
It sure is. Catherine Parr gets you your 12th point.
She was also the first woman to publish under her own name in England. She published like 3 religious works.
I feel like I've gotten more trivia out of this than you have.
It's Catherine fun Paul. Facts. Yeah. Maybe it makes good content. I don't know.
No, talk about fun facts. So that gets you the following tangents. The Tudors, kings, brothers, or spouses?
Let's go with the Tudors.
Going with the Tudors. Shocking.
I'm like scared you're going to ask me a question about like a coupe style car and I'm not going to know. You'd be like, I asked you about the Tudors.
Tudors. It could happen. Introduced in 1876 and currently bottled by Pernod Ricard, what mid-shelf gin brand takes its name from a group of Tudor-era bodyguards who protected the British monarch since 1485?
I want to say that this is the name that I always mix up, but I believe they are called Beef Eaters. So this is the Beef Eater gin.
Beef Eater.
Which I have mistakenly called Beef Steak gin in the past, getting it confused with the tomato variety.
Yeah, I don't think you want to
drink
beef
steak. Because I think I saw Beef Eater. I was like, but I don't want a tomato gin. And somebody was like, where do you think it's a tomato? I was like, Beef Eater. They're like,
that's
the tomato's
beef
steak. Yeah. And I was like, right. Okay. So it's a thing.
It's a thing. Yeah. Beef Eater, not beef steak, gets you to 13 points, and it gets you the following tangents. The 1870s, alcohol, the Tudors, or general royalty.
All right. Well, you almost tempted me away, I think, but I'm going to stick with the Tudors.
Sticking with the Tudors. All right. Oh, now we are getting into kind of two-door car categories. Tom Canty and his regal lookalike Edward Tudor are the two title characters in what 1881 Mark Twain novel?
I believe this is The Prince and the Pauper.
The Prince and the Pauper, your answer. And that is correct.
I always forget Mark Twain did that one, but I'm pretty sure that's,
Prince and the Pauper. Nice job. And that gets you the following tangents. Mark Twain, the Tudors, title characters, or 1800s books.
Ooh. Okay. Well, as tempted as I am to go with title characters, I think I'm going to stick with the Tudors.
Okay. Here we are at the Tudors. In 1999, several well-known Shakespearean actors joined an effort to save Tudor Hall, the Baltimore area childhood home of what notorious figure in American history?
Okay. Wish I still had that pass. So let me see if I can reason this out. Okay. 1999 act. So if it's Shakespearean actors, it feels like it has to be someone who did stage writing or wrote something that people would perform in Baltimore area. Like my mind just keeps going to Edgar Allan Poe, but I know he was born in Boston and I don't know if he grew up in Baltimore, but no. Feel like I should know who lived in Tudor Hall. But I really don't. This might be the end of my run, but I think I'm going to have to go with Edgar Allan Poe.
Going with Edgar Allan Poe. Well, it is a three-named person. You might cool. have, you might have, you got three names out of it. Mm-hmm. It is maybe more notorious than that.
Okay.
That is John Wilkes Booth. John Wilkes Booth.
Oh, okay.
Famous Shakespearean actor in his own right. Yeah. From Baltimore, but that brings an end to us tonight. But yeah, you did a fantastic job.
Ironically, John Wilkes Booth killed me. So, but how was the play, Mrs. Lincoln?
Listen, you did great. 14 points in total. You had a long run of 7. You have plugged yourself right into the middle of the standings. So you're in good shape, I think, for the tournament at the end of the season. You've almost reached Tim. And I'm sure the next time you play, you'll beat him.
Oh, yeah. No, I think I kind of shot myself in the foot there with trying to go for doctors after that first one. Because I was thinking I would just jump right into Doctor Strange. And then we did not jump into Doctor Strange.
It was actually the nicknames category that would have gotten you there.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So next time you'll have to remember, go to nicknames and you'll get it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I guess I left the MCU questions for someone else.
That's right. Or just circle back around to you time you're on.
Fair.
So. Anything to plug before we leave?
I think if I don't plug my own podcast, Tim will kick me off of it. So, so check out Frenemy Trivia. It's a idea that Tim came up with that I kind of helped develop. Jay helped us develop it. And then Aaron helped us kind of figure out some of the wager strategy on it, too. He was instrumental in kind of getting those point wager things figured out. Check out Frenemy Trivia. We do sort of like a mini, I think Tim pretty much summed it up when he was here, but it's like a mini tournament each time. We have 4 players enter, 1 player leaves victorious. Everyone else just kind of hates us a little bit afterward, but it's okay. We kind of roll with
it.
It's fine.
So, it's the name of the game.
We just started dropping episodes from season 2 a couple weeks ago. So as of recording this, I believe episode 3 will drop this Friday. It's Frenemy Fridays.
On your way to work on Friday, you can listen to Frenemy. How long are the episodes?
The episodes tend to go about, I would say, an hour and a half to 2 hours usually. You can kind of pause it in the middle if you want it, but we're a little bit of a longer form podcast when it comes to trivia games. So
wrap it up before your lunch hour on Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect. All right. Everybody listen to Frenemy. It's on all the podcast medium.
Yeah. We're on your favorite podcast app.
Yep.
And we're on your least favorite one, too.
Perfect. Thanks, Brittany.
Thank you so much for having me, Russ. Ton of fun.
Thanks again to Brittany, and thank you for listening. Check the show notes for links, and I'll see you next week.